Happy Mother's Day, everybody. You can sit down now. Calm down, everything. We're glad that you're here today to worship God and to honor Him. This is a very special Mother's Day because we get to hear the story of a mother and daughter who are actually a part of our church family. We're going to see it by video, but Carly and Patty Conway, several months back, we sat them down and did some interviewing of them and asked them some questions. Part of it had to do with this whole theme this year of the, you know, taking God's book into our hearts and our lives, but part of it was about their relationship. So this is a picture of Mike and Patty Conway here. So Mike and Patty have been a part of our church longer than I've been around, so almost 12 years. So Mike and Patty have three kids. Carly is their oldest. Carly is a nurse at Children's downtown. Christian is getting married this summer. He lives in Colorado. And then, let's see, Sean is the youngest, and Sean just graduated from college, and he lives anywhere there's mountains. That's where he loves to be. But Mike and Patty, I can't tell you how thankful I am that they were here, part of this church, before I got here. They're one of those families, like many of you, that just love God, serve Him, are very faithful to Him. And so when we asked the questions to Carly and to Patty several months ago, we did it with this particular day in mind, thinking about their relationship together as God has worked on their hearts and lives. So this is what I want to invite you to do today, is you listen to Carly and to Patty, and there'll be different pieces that they're going to share with us. As you listen to them, some of the time you're going to laugh, some of the time you're going to probably cry, some of the time you will be encouraged, some of the time you might be really challenged. But for all of the ladies that are here today, not just moms, but for all the ladies, I really want to invite you to open your heart up and let God work on your life wherever you happen to be at this particular moment, all right, at this particular place in your life. And this is just the story of one mother and daughter, okay? We know that and we recognize that. But I want to encourage you to let God work on your story. Wherever you happen to be, whatever your past happens to be, I really want to encourage you to let God work on your story. And I think today is a day of great hope in which you will be challenged to take a step, maybe one that you've been very hesitant to take, maybe one that you haven't recognized you need to take. But I think through the power of God and His love for you, I sense that God's really going to do some powerful things in this place today. So we're going to begin by listening to Carly as she tells what it was like to grow up in a home in which her mother loved Jesus very much.
I never grew up outside the church, and it was a beautiful thing, never having to experience life outside of Jesus, thanks to Mom. And one thing though I remember initially was, Mom has this beautiful ability to just recall scripture and just has hidden it so in her heart. But there were times where I remember her saying, you know, in Ephesians, it's by grace we've been saved, and we really need to extend grace to our brothers as well. And I just remember thinking, come on now. I do not need to extend grace to my brothers. The one thing I remember even in those moments is just the absolute amazement of how she could recall scripture in such a beautiful way, and it just became like a mantra of the family, of just Christ-centered and realizing as her daughter, as I grew more and more watching her, that it was about that life could not exist outside of Christ, and it was a centered and focus on Him. And I never had to grow up not knowing who He was because of a mother who realized how deep and wide His love was and desired to show that to us every day. One of my first Mother's Day letters to my mom was, I love my mom because she feeds me cheese. That was my first Mother's Day letter, and what a foolish child I was to think it was just all about cheese. But what I have come to find is, I love my mother because she shows me an overwhelming love that is founded in Christ, and that one day we have the hope together that we will rejoice in Him forevermore. I love my mom because she feeds me cheese.
all the countless books I read to her and the time I spent with her. And it's, I love my mother because she feeds me cheese.
Oh, isn't that what we want for our kids? To experience the love of Jesus Christ, to understand how much God loves him, and of course to love cheese as well, right? I mean, that's our desire really as parents. We want our kids to love Jesus. We want them to experience God in very positive, in a very encouraging way. And that's really our goal and aim as a church. That's why we have a children's ministry and a student ministry. And the reason is because we want kids of this church to grow up loving Jesus. But it's more than just Brandy and then Elliot spending time with our kids. What we really want them to do is spend time with families and with parents and help them to be able to know this is what it looks like to be able to help our kids live a life focused on Jesus Christ. But I know some of you are probably thinking, that's really just not possible because I just don't have a good example. I did not have a great home life. I had no one who loved God and hardly loved me. And so it's easy for us at times to be able to use our past or at least allow our past to limit the future and to think that somehow because of the choices I made or the choices other people made that really impact me, that I am somehow disqualified in being able to help my kids or my grandkids or my family learn to love Jesus. So let me tell you this, that most of the examples of mothers in Scripture were not great examples. Okay, now we have Mother the Mary of Jesus. We would all agree she was a good mother, okay? But there were mothers in Scripture, like for instance, you've got Moses' mother, who he hadn't been born for, what, 2 or 3 months? She put him in a basket in a river, right? So then we have the story of another mother who pitted her boys against each other. She showed such favoritism that they literally tried to kill each other, all right? So there's all these examples of mothers who just didn't understand what they needed to understand. And so if we use our past as an alibi, to say, well, I didn't have a good mother, so I can't do that with my kids, we might miss out on this great opportunity for God to use even the difficult things of our past to have a profound impact on our kids in the present and in the future. So I want you to listen to Patty's story. She talks about how she grew up.
So it has been my biggest blessing to raise my children in Christ. From the time they were little, I prayed that they would love God and that they would know God and that they would sense God's deep love for them. But that wasn't my experience growing up. And I would just like to encourage all you moms that wherever you are in your walk with God and whatever your experience has been, it's not too late. I was raised in a home where there wasn't talk of the Bible, there wasn't talk of God. My mother struggled with alcoholism, and while she loved me, she was ill. And yet, when I saw what God did in her life, when I saw Him take her from a person who couldn't maintain sobriety for more than a few days to a beautiful woman who loved Him with her whole heart, who was sick for many years before she passed, but she loved Him and she called out to Him and she worshiped Him and she honored Him. And I would just encourage you that wherever you are in your walk, it isn't too late to teach your children to love God and to show Him by how you live and with what you do the love of Christ. I grew up in an alcoholic home, and that's part of probably why there was never any talk about God. And after years of hearing broken promises where my mom said, this will never happen again, but within 3 days she couldn't maintain sobriety again, we learned to not believe what people told us. But one summer morning, when my mom had just had a very bad night and couldn't get out of bed, my brother, who was quite a bit older than I was, brought her a Bible, opened to the book of John, and said, "You're looking for your answers in all the wrong places." And she read the book of John, and for the first time in her life, she experienced the love of God, and she became a great woman of faith. And so the weeks went on, and she didn't drink, and she shared the truth of what she knew, and I didn't want to believe. I didn't want the rug to be ripped out from underneath my feet again. So I kept putting it off. I kept pushing it off. I kept assuming that the same cycle would repeat itself. And when I was in middle school, I could no longer deny the power of God. And tearfully, I prayed to receive Christ, and I trusted in Him. And that's where my journey began.
So that's where Patty's journey began. I'm wondering today if for some of you, your journey may either begin or take a significant turn. But how do you do that? You know, how do you reach this place where you realize this is not what I wanted in my life to this point, or I've been, you know, letting other things keep me from making the choice that they need to make? What do we do in order to be able to help us move ahead? How do we take a turn when, especially for some of you, I mean, the kind of things that you've dealt with in your past are like Patty's, or even worse. So how do we not allow our past to limit us? How can we change the way we influence our families for Jesus Christ? How do we do that? Well, the Apostle Paul is one of the key leaders in the church, and Paul, through his ministry, took several trips in which he would go out and tell other people about Jesus Christ. And so on one of these trips, one of these missionary journeys, he meets a young man by the name of Timothy. Timothy's probably between 18 and 25 when Paul meets him, and Paul sees that there's something unusual about this young man, and so he invites Timothy to come along with him to mentor him and to encourage him. And so later in his life, Paul writes two different, very personal letters to Timothy called 1 and 2 Timothy. And in that second letter, Paul is being very personal with Timothy. Now, at this particular time, Timothy has been the minister or the pastor of a church in Ephesus for many, many years. So he's really lived his faith. He's really lived for God. But Paul, in this probably the last letter he's ever written, he does all this remembering. And in the midst of this remembering, he remembers something about Timothy. Here's what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Paul says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." And so in remembering his faith, Paul doesn't take credit for leading Timothy to Christ. In fact, Paul is very, very clear to say who was instrumental in Timothy having this faith. And he doesn't just call it faith, right? He calls it a sincere faith. It is a real faith. It is a true faith. It's not a faith that, you know, is just kind of on the surface or you only show on Sunday morning. It was a faith that he got from his mother and his grandmother. Their faith was sincere, which led to Timothy's faith being sincere. I think one of the things that as parents, but especially as moms, you've got to be willing to live out your faith before your kids. Now, that's a little scary, right? Because none of us are perfect, right? And we think, oh, man, they're going to see my flaws and my mess-ups and my struggles. You need to let them see your flaws and your struggles. Because imagine your kids growing up in an environment where they never saw their parents struggle with their faith, that they didn't have any kind of doubts, and seemed like everything, every choice they made was always, you know, exactly what it should be. Imagine your kids growing up and they get into college or they get a career or they get married and they begin to face the same exact struggles that you faced in your life, but they start thinking things like, well, I never remember mom and dad ever struggling with their faith. I never remember mom and dad ever being, you know, having things in their life that they struggle with. And they start thinking, well, what's wrong with me that I have those struggles? You need to let your kids see your struggles. You need to let them see a sincere faith that even though things get difficult, you still continually turn back to God and you say, you know what, I don't do it right and I don't have it all figured out. And like Timothy, we need to be Timothy's mom and grandma, we need to be willing to live out our faith before our children. And I think that real faith can only come from God's word. And more than anything else, I want to encourage all of the ladies in this room to let the power of God change your life, to let God's word in, to take God's word in. I mean, this year we have spent significant time encouraging you, what, to eat this book, right? And to take God's word into your heart and into your life. And no matter who you are, but especially if you find yourself like Patty, who has a challenging past, you definitely need God's word in your heart and in your life, because it is only through God and the power that comes in His word that we take inside of us that God can really bring about those changes that we need. And so, as Patty reveals, it's the power of God's word that changes and heals and strengthens.
So my testimony is one of God's incredible power to save the lost, but it's also a testimony of His power to heal the broken. And when that really started happening in my life is when I purposed to hide God's word in my heart. And I think that's a journey that looks different for everybody. For me personally, it's been an intentional decision to give up maybe a little relaxation or a little mindless time in front of the TV and to sit in His word, to take it in, to soak it in, and to believe it. And I wish that I could tell you how that happened. I wish that I could tell you how I went from daydreaming about a really good, rosy, perfect childhood to being thankful for the childhood I was given, because it's what brought me to a place of trusting God. But I can't. I can't tell you how that happened other than to say that I clung to God's word, that I worked at it. I would read it. I would wrestle with it. I would struggle with it. For example, the verse that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. If I'm honest, I'm not there now. But knowing that verse, knowing that it's what God says is important in my life, I wrestle with it. I ask God. I confess to God, I'm sorry that I don't love you with my whole heart, with my whole mind, with my whole strength, but I want to. Help me, Lord. Help me to walk in the truth of what I know. Help me to walk in the Spirit. Help me to walk in the light today and to not be overcome by the darkness. Help me to let your word penetrate my heart, to let it heal me, to let it guide me, and to let it change me.
The big reason scripture memorization became so important to me was I actually witnessed my mom doing it. And my mom was the one who told me day in and day out, where I remember as a child the moments where she would recite scripture out of nowhere and just being amazed that she could say it like that, that she knew the words of the Lord, and the times where she would tell me how important it has been in her life. And as a child, mainly as a young adult, late high school, I really began to get note cards and write scripture verses on the note cards. And it was an easy way to flip through then, but my mom was a large catalyst, and seeing how she lived her life for the Lord and recognizing what He had done within her own life made me realize the difference that memorizing scripture can make.
It's the power of God's word in our lives that has the opportunity to really bring about the change that we need. I love what the psalmist said in Psalm 119. He says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. In other words, I've taken your word and I've learned it so well that it's deep within me. And that is what has the power to make an impact and a difference in our hearts and in our lives. And so I really want to encourage you, ladies, to take God's word into your life. In fact, In your program, in your outline there, I've listed several different scriptures there that I think are powerful scriptures that you can memorize. But every single one of those are verses that Patty shares, either already has or will in a moment, that comes from God's word that she uses to kind of help combat against the darkness that we all have to deal with. In fact, one of the things that I want to share with you, so hopefully all of the ladies received a card when you came in. So this isn't not just for mothers, but this is for all the ladies. Had some chocolate in it, which is also nice. So if you are middle school or older and you didn't receive one of these, I want to make sure you get one. I'm going to talk about it. So put your hand up in the air if you are a middle school or older lady and you did not receive one of these. All right, put your hand up in the air. We have a couple of guys who are going to hand one to you because we want everyone to be able to get one. So we have a couple over on that side there, Tim. We got one right up here in the front as well. We want to make sure some over here in the back. So as you get this card and as you open it up, you can eat the chocolate. You're very welcome to do that or save it for later. But on the front of the card is a verse. So the verse that's on my card says, "You will know the truth and the truth will set you free." I want to make sure that you recognize that this is a scripture that comes from God's word. Yours may be a different verse. But then when you open it up on the inside, you're going to either find a note or you may find another scripture like this one has, Philippians 3:14. But very specifically in there it says, "You have been prayed for today." So one of our small groups spent their whole small group evening writing these notes and praying over every single one of these cards, knowing that this card would go in the hands of one of the ladies, one of the women of our church today. Because we want you to know that it is the power of God's truth and the impact of prayer that literally can change you from this day on. Now that change may be slow and it may be gradual, but I want to encourage you to take God's word. Maybe it's the verse that's on this card and you put it where you're going to see it every single morning. Or maybe it's another verse that's found in the notes, or maybe it's a verse that you have, but I want you to let God's word impact you in a powerful way. In fact, I want to challenge you, like Patty did, to make a decision to hide God's word in your heart, to memorize God's word, even as Carly talked about. Maybe it's taking those index cards and writing them down so that you can see them, because it is God's word that can have a powerful impact on your heart and on your life. But we also realize that being in this place today, you may, as a lady, feel very disheartened. Maybe you feel kind of overwhelmed by the circumstances you're facing right now. Maybe for you, you feel this just great guilt of the past. Maybe you wear this cloak of shame. Maybe you hear somebody like Patty and you think, "I didn't do that. You know, I've messed my kids all up." And you wear this sense of like it's too late. Maybe for you, you wrestle with depression. Maybe you wrestle with an addiction. Maybe for you it's physical pain that you deal with. Maybe it's discouragement. You need to know that God has the power to grow us into something beautiful if we can let Him, if we will surrender our heart and our life to Him. And so Carly and Patty both share some very powerful words of encouragement that they speak directly to all of the ladies of our church this morning.
I have been very deeply blessed by the Lord in many ways for a mother who has desired nothing more than for Jesus to be our Savior and source of life, for Him to grow and flourish in our hearts, and for us to just embrace Him fully. And she has shown us that me throughout my entire life of how to love God and how to love people. And she has shown it by her love for me. And I just want to encourage those who either have never known their mother, do not have a mother who has shown them that love. I would just encourage you young ladies that I don't know why. I don't know why He places each and every one of us in a different position, but what I trust is that He has the power to grow us and bring about something beautiful, whether it is you will be a mother to someone in a beautiful, stunning way that only He can provide, whether it is you will find a woman who will grow you and act as someone who takes you under their wing, whatever that may look like. I just encourage you to remember that He is the one who can shape you in that way.
I experienced several very sad Mother's Day when I struggled with infertility. So I do understand how Mother's Day can be a very, very painful day. I also have shared that growing up was difficult, there was sadness in my home. So I want to be sensitive. I don't want to take what I have for granted. I don't want to assume that that's everyone's experience. But what I can tell you is that God loves you with an everlasting love, regardless of where you're at today, whether Mother's Day is a happy day, a sad day, an indifferent day. I know through heartache, through pain, and through joy, I know that God lavishes His children with an everlasting love that helps us to work through pain and disappointment. And my hope for you today is that you will feel joy. You will feel the joy of knowing God and of knowing you are His dearly loved daughter, despite your circumstances.
So the question is, what are you going to do with this encouragement or this challenge today? I hope at the heart of it, you walk out of here, ladies, recognizing the deep love God has for you, that more than anything in your life, that God loves you very dearly. Maybe today you need to receive the healing that can only come from the Father. Maybe because of your past, what's happened to you or what you've done, you just desperately need to receive the healing that God has for you. You need to hear of God's great love for you and that He has the power to impact our hearts and our lives. Maybe for some of you today is the day that you're going to, like Patty, you're going to determine in your heart to hide God's word. You're going to, whatever it takes, you're going to take whether we shared, but you're going to, because you know that, like all of us on our own, we don't have the power to change our lives, but God does, and the Word of God does. And so I want to encourage you to consider taking God's Word and memorizing it and hiding it in your heart and in your life. So listen to one final encouragement from Patty as she shares the difference that God's Word has made in her life.
I'd like to just share that God's Word and hiding it in my heart, letting it penetrate the deepest parts of my heart, have freed me from the pain and the sorrow, from the bondage of my past. It's also allowed me to walk in the truth of what I know and to not have my days dictated by how I feel, by my circumstances, and by my emotions. I used to beat myself up over things I struggle with, sins I'm still committing. Why am I still so selfish? Why do I still do the things that I don't want to do, or I don't do the things I know I should? And now, when those things come to my mind, I choose to remind myself that I am a new creation in Christ. I choose to remember that because of the blood of Christ, Jesus Himself presents me as holy and blameless to the Father. And lastly, I remember that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I remind myself that my citizenship is in heaven. Because I've hidden God's word in my heart, I can remind myself, I can walk by the truth that I am a co-heir with Christ. And most importantly, I can remember that I'm a dearly loved child of God.
Our prayer today is that you'll remember that you are a dearly loved child of God. Let me pray for us. Father God, I lift up this room. I especially lift up all of the women of this room, that you would bring encouragement and speak life and healing and peace into them, Father. And Lord, that through the power of your Spirit, you would draw them closer to you and help them to have a sense of how you feel about them, that, Father, they would not allow the lies of the enemy to pull them away from you, but would rather focus on the truth that comes from you. And so, Lord, thank you for this opportunity today to just reflect and to remember. And it's in your most precious name we pray. Amen.